All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. Coming up this hour, Jolie from the front desk with another edition of How Chicks Think. Today's email comes to... I won't give his name. It's a guy who has a question for Jolie. Visa, and Sarah and I were just talking about this yesterday. It's a question about Valentine's Day. To the effect of, will Jolie give it up and admit that it's a BS holiday? Except he doesn't say BS. We've got that coming up later on. The third hour, Clyde Lewis with news at Ground Zero. Hey, let me just tell you this, by the way. This is apropos of nothing, as my friend Martin used to say. But we just got this thing from the House of Blues. The Gorge Amphitheater, once again named North America's best major outdoor concert venue by Polestar Magazine. Way to go, Gorge, represent. I mean, that Redbox place is pretty cool, too, but, I mean, the Gorge. Having seen, I don't know, like 5 or 6 or 7 shows there, man, that's a fan-freaking-tastic place. It doesn't matter. You can see bands you don't care dick about at the Gorge, and suddenly it's fantastic, you know what I mean? You see a band at the Gorge, even if they suck, even if they're terrible, you see it there, and it just takes on this whole gigantic grandeur. I saw Def Leppard there, and it was, you know, and I... You know, Def Leppard. I just don't give a flying flip about Def Leppard at all in any way. I mean, they mean so little to me. But I saw them there at the Gorge, and it was just, you know, you just come away just, you know, shaking your head at what a fantastic show it was. Saw Meatloaf and Cheap Trick there, though. That's probably the apex of my Gorge experience. I had Paul Simon, which was crap. But Meatloaf and Cheap Trick, baby.
Ooh, I saw Bob Dylan and Ben Morrison there.
Bob Dylan. I saw Brian Wilson there. I saw, who else? Where the hell else did I see there? Manilow. Twice! Feel that! Don't screw with the Manilow. Don't shake your head at me.
You shouldn't have said that out loud.
People know of my Manilow love. That's pretty much a known thing. I've never made any secret of the fact that I'm down with the Manilow. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. So Jolie coming up. We're also going to talk about the Janet Jackson. Now that we've all moved on from the Janet Jackson, you know, sort of boob fest to tangential issues, we're going to talk a little bit about USA Today, because USA Today takes the opportunity to lay out the 10 turning points for television. You know, where television went from being pure and chaste and, you know, clean as the driven snow to a swirling, festering pit of sewage and filth. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, because they missed several things along the way. But we're going to talk about that, and we're going to get the Geek Watch happening here inside this next news segment here. See, you want to hang tight for that. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. We're also going to take caller number 5 right now. We're going to give away dinner for... it's actually lunch for 4. Billy Reitz. We're going to give away a lunch certificate at our good friend Billy Reitz. Our good friends out there who hosted us for... What was it? June now? July? Last year? Something the listener party?
Yeah.
We're going to do another thing out there one of these days. Billy Reitz, though. Lunch for 4. We'll take caller 5 at 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. Lunch for 4 at Billy Reitz. This is Tim Riley in the KFTK Newsroom.
And now, it's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Well, Portland has wound up on the list of the worst cities in America to do business. This from Inc. Magazine's list of the worst cities. Portland, known for its growth management, is considered relatively high-priced, although cheaper than Seattle and San Francisco. The 10 worst cities in urban areas to do business are, in order, San Jose, Grand Rapids, Greenville, Spartanburg, Dayton, Ohio, Rochester, New York, New York City, San Francisco, Portland, Boston, and Philadelphia. Another story from Walmart: a handcuffed man who escaped from police in Texas has been arrested after buying bolt cutters in a store in Arkansas. The man was detained by police in Haynesville after making a purchase right in the middle of the night at a 24-hour Walmart store. The shop assistant noticed the man was handcuffed, took his money, and sold him the cutters. Then afterwards, he called the police. Apparently, he used the toilet at the store to get out of the cuffs. Police arrived at the scene and arrested him. When he tried to get away, they found sliced handcuffs in his pocket. Time for the Geek Watch.
Here's your Geek Watch for Tuesday.
Ugh, this high-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember, you used to...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but... Because we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
Energize.
Okay, here we go. The Star Wars trilogy, one of the most requested DVD episodic film franchises, is expected to be released as a 4-disc DVD box set September 21st. The global rollout on DVD expected to be within days of the domestic release, according to Lucasfilm Limited and 20th Century Fox Home Entertainment. The trilogy features the classic franchise film Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. They'll be released on three DVD discs and a fourth disc likely to hold a newly made documentary about the Star Wars people and never before seen footage among several other bonus materials.
All right, now that's the good news. See here, the fact that they're putting out the episodes 4, 5, and 6, they're putting out New Hope, Empire, and Jedi in DVD, along with a fourth disc, Godfather in indie style. That's just supplemental materials, documentaries, interviews, and other things. That's the good news. Who knows what the bad news is? Anyone?
Wait, I got a guess.
Yeah.
Is it all the special editions?
Yeah, baby! Special. Read inferior editions. You know what this is? This box set for Star Wars is sort of the civil unions of the DVD world. It's not the real thing, and it's sort of a hollow imitation of what you really want, but it's all you're able to get right now because it's all the man will offer you. The man in this case being George Lucas. Now, I can't advocate, owning or distributing any bootleg DVDs. I'm just saying there's a friend of mine, there's someone I know, someone who is similar to but legally distinct from myself, who owns episodes 4, 5, and 6, the original versions on DVD, and I'm just saying that friend of mine, who is not me, of course, is very happy with those and will clutch those ever tighter to his bosom as George Lucas thrusts this abomination onto the world. I mean, it's to the point now where I think Lucas does this because I think Lucas secretly, or perhaps not so secretly, hates his audience. I mean, you read about that all the time, right? You read about that particular pathology, about performers and entertainers at a certain point growing to resent the audience, Dylan style. You know, because like Bob Dylan used to do this. It's well known that Dylan used to go on, and I don't know if he still does this, but Dylan used to go on stage, and I'm not trying to knock Bob Dylan, he's, like George Lucas, he's a gifted artist who created some fantastic enduring pieces of musical culture in this case, but Bob Dylan at a certain point grew so resentful of his audience and disliked his audience so much that he would do this thing where he would go on stage and he would make up new melodies or new lyrics to his songs as he sang, and it was specifically for the purpose of keeping the audience from singing along. He didn't want the audience to sing along with him, so he'd get up there and he'd be singing, whatever, Blowing in the Wind, and he'd just be making up some new melody on the fly so that the audience couldn't participate.
I've seen him three times each time he's done that.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing if you're doing it because you want to reinvent the material to keep yourself interested. I mean, I still think it's kind of selfish because when people pay... here's the thing. As somebody once said, when you buy it... Let's take rock concerts for an example here. When you buy a ticket, right? And I know that we're still in the news and we'll get back to Tim here in just a second, but this has just got to be said. When you buy... Wait, let me do it HTML style. /beginrant. When you buy a ticket to a rock concert, right? In this case, you buy a $35 ticket to see a musical performance. As somebody once said, when you have purchased that ticket, you, for the next 3 hours, are the boss. You are in charge, right? When you plunk down $40 to go see Aerosmith play, and we'll use them as an example here, you have employed them for the next 3 hours to entertain you, right? And not to make grand social statements, not to make some sort of gigantic artistic breakthrough while they're on the stage. You are the boss, and Aerosmith is working for you for the next 2.5 hours of that concert. Which is why when you go, they don't play Walk This Way as, some sort of bohemian fiddle excursion. They play Walk This Way the way it's supposed to be played, the way you want to hear it, right? That's what they do, because you have paid them to come out on stage and entertain you in a specific fashion. And that's why it pisses me off when people would lay down whatever dollars to go see Bob Dylan, and he would just come on stage and screw with them. I just think it's contemptuous of the audience, and I think it's the sort of thing that alienates artists from the public, and that's the sort of thing that creates distance between performer and the people, which of course, it's not to be overly sappy about it, but music and that sort of stuff is supposed to bring people together. It's not supposed to be some guy on a stage taking a big whiz on his fans, which is what George Lucas is doing. You know what I mean? And so when you pay $10 to go to the theater to see Star Wars, when you shell out, I mean, God only knows how much this thing's going to cost. You shell out $75 for the Star Wars box set. I mean, you are the one who is in charge. You should be the one who is dictating that relationship. George Lucas is there to give you a product that you want in exchange for that $75. And it's not that the special editions don't have any right to exist. And I know that there's a lot of people out there who think that I'm spending way too much time analyzing what is, just a sci-fi movie. But, this thing is emblematic of a larger sort of shift in the American popular culture, which is where artists are going back and altering their previous work and tampering with it over and over and over and over again. And once it gets to a certain point where it's accepted by the mass public, man, that ought to be it. And I was watching last night. I'm sitting at my home. I'm watching Aliens. Right? I'm watching the Aliens DVD because it came out with the, you know, it came out with the Alien Quadrilogy, which I think is incorrect because I'm pretty sure it's actually Tetralogy, but, you know. So I'm watching Aliens last night, and Cameron has put both versions on there. He's put the original version, and he's put the director's cut, which is like 40 minutes longer. I have no problem with the director's cut existing, just like I don't have any problem with that Let It Be Naked album coming out, which is the Beatles sort of going back and stripping all of Phil Spector's production off the Beatles record. I have no problem with it because the original still exists. You can still go get the original Let It Be somewhere, right? You're not held hostage by Paul McCartney's perverse vision of what the past should be like 35 years later. But George Lucas just seems to take this infantile perverse delight in sticking it to his audience. I mean, over and over and over again. Screw that guy. Jesus Christ, man. Like, it's so hard to just do something that pleases your audience. In the name of sweet Jehovah. All right, I'm sorry. Is there anything more in the story we care about?
Oh, next news, when it happens. I'm Tim Ryan.
There's your Geek Watch.
By Grabthar's hammer, by the sons of Warband, I shall avenge you.
Next. Ooh, loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
It just annoys me, all right? In any event. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. Rick, don't feel bad. I also love Barry Manilow and Air Supply. Excellent. Man, Jen Lane was busted on Air Supply when her ass was in here last week.
Yeah, she was saying how we can't actually love it, but we have to love it ironically.
Yeah, and shut the hell up with that is what you can do. It's a nice big glass of shut your trap about Air Supply. It's what everybody's going to get served today. All right. Hold on. Sorry. Backslash. And rant. Okay. It's the end of my Star Wars rant, more or less. I mean, you know, George Lucas owns the films. He can do whatever he wants with them, right? I mean, he's allowed to alter them. They're his property. All I'm saying is, there comes a certain point when your work transcends something you own and it becomes part of the larger culture. Nobody can dispute that Star Wars is part of the American culture. And, you know, that's not true of every film.
You already ended the rant.
I'm no longer ranting. I'm pontificating now. There's a difference. You know, Rob Schneider films are not part of the cultural consciousness. You know what I mean? They're not part of the collective human experience in America. The Star Wars films are. You want to go back and meddle with them until the end of time? That's fine. Just give us the original version so we can have them, and then you can do whatever you want with them. You know what I mean? But he refuses to do that. In fact, Lucas went so far as to say, late last year, he went so far as to say that if it was up to him, which of course it is because it's Lucasfilm, that the original versions of the Star Wars films would never be shown again. He said that his thinking was such that the original Star Wars films would never be shown again. You know, which is just a crime. It's a crime in the truest, deepest sense of the word. All right. I'm officially done now. You laugh now. Wait till they start going back and tampering with those 90210 episodes. They go back and they start inserting Jabba the Hutt, you know, standing next to Tori Spelling at some point. What's happening? Well, I don't know. Tiffany Thiessen's been encased in carbonite and taken away by Boba Fett, you know? Go back, start adding stuff in there, man. You're going to be bitching long and loud about it. You know you will.
Coming in Greedo shooting first at somebody.
You know what it'd be? It'd be like Jimmy Page and Robert Plant going back and putting some sort of a dance beat underneath Stairway to Heaven and then yanking the original version off the market so we can't have it anymore. No. We decided Stairway to Heaven needs congas and a zither. I mean, you know? Just do whatever you want. Just leave me the original. Sons of bitches. All right. Okay, I'm officially done now. Okay, there you go. I'm done until more information comes out about it, which will undoubtedly be soon. I do. Later on, we're gonna talk to Jolie from the front desk as part of How Chicks Think. Clyde Lewis is going to be here with news at Ground Zero. I do want to talk a little bit about this USA Today. Because they talk about, if you look at page 5D of today's USA Today in the entertainment section, they have this article, 10 Turning Points for Television. And they're starting in the early 1950s when television was created. And they're ending with Janet Jackson's bosom being exposed during the Super Bowl. And they're talking about 10 turning points from in television. Because television in its infancy was very innocent. It was very sort of naive, and it sort of had this willful ignorance about the way that things actually work in the world. And, of course, now you see Janet Jackson's nipple being exposed during the Super Bowl. And they have 10 turning points, of which they're missing at least... they've got 10 here, and they're missing at least 3 or 4 large ones. And it's the 10 turning points in the maturity of television. Tell me what's missing to you here. Tell me, first of all, tell me the most egregious omission from this list. 1953, Lucy gives birth, to Little Ricky, or Riquito, as we call him in the language of the Spaniards. Lucy gave birth, which then they wouldn't even allow her to be. I don't know if you know this, but when Lucy was pregnant, they wouldn't even allow the network to say that she was pregnant. They said that she was expecting. I think that's the closest you could get. They couldn't say that she was. They couldn't say that she was pregnant, and I don't think they could even say that she was with child. And I think that was back. When did they stop showing couples in bed? In separate beds. I think it was the Brady Bunch. I think the Brady Bunch was the first time that they showed a man and a woman in bed together. Didn't anybody? Let me ask you this. I wasn't alive in the 50s, obviously, nor in the 60s, but didn't anybody look at the television and think it was freaking weird that they didn't, the men and women, slept Flintstone style in twin beds separate, and there was always a bureau in the middle. You ever watch the old sitcoms? There was always a bureau with one drawer and a lamp on top, right there, you know what I mean? And the guy was always on the left, and then in the middle, there's the bureau in which they keep their, their copy of Harper's Bazaar, and on the right, there's the woman. I mean, did the viewing audience at that point sort of wonder why that was? I mean, did they realize that it was because America was puritanical, or did they actually, do you wonder if Americans who shared a bed thought they were doing it wrong somehow? If you turn on I Married Joan, and the husband and wife are 15 feet apart, and yet they've got five kids. I mean, do you ever wonder Mr. and Mrs. Middle America turned on the television, like, honey, I think we're doing it wrong somehow. We're in the same bed. I don't understand. All right. Next, 1964, Peyton Place. Peyton Place was based on the novel of the same name by Grace Matulius, which is Peyton Place was the first novel to sort of admit that people got the sort of the first television show to admit that people got it on. Peyton Place was all about the, it was kind of the American Beauty of its time, sort of steamy secrets behind the facade of a small New England town. All in the Family, 1971. 1981, Hill Street Blues. 1976, Charlie's Angels, The Birth of Jiggle Vision. Man, Charlie's Angels, see, that is the one absolute fantastically groundbreaking show on this list. That and All in the Family, man. Charlie's Angels, without Charlie's Angels, man, you want to go, no Baywatch, no VIP, probably nothing from Aaron Spelling in the manner of, 90210 or Melrose Place. I mean, Charlie's Angels, that is what gave us breasts as the selling point of a show. Before Charlie's Angels, women were all just, bound down and covered up and corseted and whatnot. It's Charlie's Angels that gave us boob vision, man. That's a direct line from Charlie's Angels to Baywatch. Absolutely. 1987, Married with Children. God damn it, Katie Sagal used to be hot. I mean, she still is, but Katie Sagal, for my money, Katie Sagal is hotter now and has always been hotter than Christina Applegate. And I know that that's a matter of some contention among those of us who carry penises around, but I'm telling you right now, even as Peg Bundy, when she had those huge-ass heels on, she was like 9 feet tall with that clanky dime store jewelry, that's the sort of thing I find hot. 1991, this is a truly groundbreaking show. Where would we be without the Jerry Springer Show, man? Do you remember the first time you saw the Jerry Springer Show and you thought that, like, just a doorway to hell had opened up and just people had crawled forth to sit on, like, rickety chairs and yell at one another, fighting a bunch of fat women with gigantic boobs fighting over some toothless bastard with no job. You know what I mean? Three. Just. It's always just three trashy women look like they dress out of the discount bin at a Woolworths in Compton, fighting over some stupid bastard who lives in a trailer. That's my man! What the hell, man? All right. We're not done with the list. We'll address more when we come back. Plus your phone calls. 503-250-1080 in Portland. Stay there. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Here's Eminem.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
There was a time when we didn't know the chant of Jerry, Jerry, Jerry. You watched Jerry Springer in college, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, in high school, too.
That's what I'm talking about, man. That's America right there.
Good stuff.
In America, can Jerry Springer, who's a fantastically smart guy, by the way, you read an interview with that guy, man, he's sharp as a box of tacks. The Jerry Springer Show, if you wanted to tell people, like, this is America right here, you would just take that show, but it's like when they sent, what was it, Viking 2 or whatever into outer space, and they sent, the Isaac Newton drawing of the man and the woman. And then they sent greetings in 15 different languages, including Braille and English and Spanish. And then they sent a Chuck Berry record. They sent a recording of Johnny B. Good. Man, you ought to send a Springer Show out there, too. People want to know what America's like. See, because here's the thing about Springer. Springer does not depict America as we wish it to be. Springer depicts America as it really is. I mean, the real base, truly honest nature of America is found on the Jerry Springer Show. And I'm fine with that.
I remember when I was younger, I would watch the Jerry Springer Show, and then I'd always watch Talk Soup, because they would have like the wrap-up of what had happened on Jerry Springer that day.
Let us not overlook the programming breakthrough that was studs. Yeah. All right. Early 90s. Represent. Who's Sarah with the traffic?
All right.
Good afternoon. It is 1:28. I'm Tim Riley. Australian native Miranda Otto plays Ewan, a strong-willed daughter of Theoden, who goes to war against the orcs in Return of the King. Miranda said the story is a simple one about Frodo and Sam.
In the end, all the battles that are going on, and no matter how big they get, the whole thing is basically about Frodo and Sam trying to get to put the ring back, you know, to throw the ring in the fire. That is where the whole story is going, and that is, in some ways, a very intimate story.
Please credit Peter Jackson for making an epic film with compelling characters.
It's not often that you can get those two elements working together, that you have the ability and the, you know, the technology to be able to make the bigness, the epicness of the film. But then also have the director who can direct the intimate, the drama. I mean, and it is the drama that drives the story. You know, if people didn't care about Frodo and Sam or Aragorn or Legolas and Gimli, then, you know, there wouldn't be anything to watch, really.
I think you have a point there. Mostly sunny this afternoon. Tim Riley, KOTK News.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080, KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Apparently the Munsters were the first couple to sleep together. You know, remember the Munsters had that really hot daughter, Lily? No, it wasn't Lily. What's the daughter's name? Marilyn. One of my early childhood crushes. Marilyn Munster. Marilyn Munster and Morticia Adams is played by Carolyn Jones. Carolyn Jones version only. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Coming up this hour, Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Coming up later on, Klein Lewis with News at Ground Zero. We're going to get your phone calls here in just one second. Let's get John. You're on Hot Talk Tonight at KTK. What's up?
Oh, hi, Rick. Yeah, I just thought you might think this was interesting. My dad lives right next door to George Lucas down in California.
Hey, George, look at that 64,000 square foot house that he's got.
Well, he's got several. I don't know if you're talking about the Skywalker Ranch or the house in San Anselmo. That's where my father lives.
Yes. The gigantic George Lucas. I think George Lucas is, I think he's just, you know, wants kind of his own country. I think he's slowly just buying up all of California, and he's going to make it his own personal fiefdom at some point.
Yeah, well, it's funny. The road that he built his ranch on is called Lucas Valley Road.
Yeah, it's like the Hidden Valley. Excellent. All right, there you go. That's John. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We're going to get to these other calls in just a second. But I want to finish this list, by the way, from USA Today. They're talking about the 10 turning points that led television from being pure and clean to being a pit of sleaze and debauchery. 1981, Jerry Springer Show. They also had 1986, Madonna on MTV. I think it was when 1986, because I think 1986 was both the year of Like a Virgin, and I think that was also the year of Open Your Heart, where she's, you know, she's got the pointy bra and she's dancing around on the peep show for the little kid. 1993, NYPD Blue, endless shots of Dennis Franz's ass. Although not the first ass on television, it's a common misconception, by the way, and it pains me that I even know these sorts of things, but the first ass on television, to my knowledge, the first time you saw bare ass on TV, you know, in a non-news context, was not NYPD Blue, although everybody thinks it is. It was, there's this episode of MASH, where Colonel Blake and Radar are stuck in the shower because there's a sniper taking pot shots at the camp at the 477th, and there's this scene where Radar tries to sneak out of the shower and get back to, you know, whatever. To the headquarters. The sniper takes a shot. Radar running back to the shower. Towel comes off as he's there. Bare ass. Gary Berghoff ass right there on television. Not exactly the sort of ass you want to see. There seems to be this sort of unwritten rule that you can only show the bare body parts if it's guaranteed to be something you're not interested in. See Dennis Franz. See Gary Berghoff. See the 80-year-old bosom on ER last week. Who says to themselves, you know what's going to spike our ratings if we show a wrinkly breast on television? That's a wrinkly, floor-touching breast. Let's roll that out. That's gonna bring in the ratings. 1998, Sex in the City, a show watched by no one. I know, I think I can count on one finger the number of people I know who watch Sex and the City. Sex and the City is one of those programs that everyone, that critics love to talk about, and they love to fabricate buzz about it, when in fact you don't know anybody who watches it, and neither do I.
My roommate is addicted to it, and so is another
roommate. Your roommate, the female roommate?
Yeah. She loves it, and another friend of mine, Erica, they will get together and, like,
sit down, you're kidding me,
and watch the DVDs. Like, they'll watch an entire season in a day. They own every season on DVD.
All right.
It's crazy.
Well, I don't want to get you in trouble with your roommate, so I'll refrain from the long series of invective-laden statements I was about to make about people who watch Sex and the City. Let's get Dale. You're on Hot Talk tonight at KFTK. What's up?
Hey, Rick. There's an important point that got TV viewing a lot lower, and that was the first close-up of a dead body.
Which was?
And that was the close-up of Che Guevara after they had killed and captured him because they wanted to prove to people that they really had him. But before that point, you never, ever saw dead bodies or close-up of dead bodies on the news. It was one of those forbidden things. You never saw that.
Now, what year would that even have been?
I think that must have been the late 60s. Remember, they were chasing Che Guevara for such a long time, and then they put him on display, and these generals pointed out the bullet holes and all that sort of thing, and the camera came really close on his face, and there were flies crawling on his lip and all that sort of thing, and you had never, ever saw a dead body like that on the news. No close-ups.
Well, that was, I mean, and CBS News especially, they were real groundbreakers and stuff like that, just showing all kinds of things that had never been on television before. Of course, the Vietnam era was rife with that kind of stuff. I mean, it's just, there's all kinds of, and then there's those first where they sort of try to fabricate the controversy. Remember that, was it Chicago Hope? What was the show that had Mark Harmon? It was Chicago Hope, right? A couple years ago, there was this big scandal that he was going to use the S word on television, that he was going to use the phrase, S happens, when a guy, I've got a tumor in my head the size of a melon. Well, what do you know? S happens. Ooh. You know, and then the empire was going to crumble because he'd used the S word on television. All right. Let's see. What is this? It's Kelly. You're on Hot Talk tonight. KFTK. What's up?
Hey, man. I just wanted to know if you'd ever heard of the Star Wars Holiday Special.
I own the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Do you?
Star Wars.
Okay.
I copy of a copy of. It's like a 9 millionth. The Star Wars Holiday Special, by the way. It's just anybody who knows what I'm talking about knows this already, but the Star Wars Holiday Special was this special that it was just what it sounds like. It's like an hour-long Christmas special that aired in 78,
yeah,
I think.
It's amazing.
It's so bad that George Lucas yanked it off the market.
Chewbacca's family tries to express emotion and love and holiday cheer without the aid of subtitles.
Yeah, and it's got Starship on there performing a song at one point with, I think, a bunch of Wookiees. It's
in hologram format, no less.
It's so terrible. Lucas yanked it off the market, won't sell it, won't make it available. You can't buy it, you can't see it. There's nowhere you can get it. He won't even admit that it exists.
That's where the problem started, right? Way back in the Star Wars Holiday Special, he refuses to answer questions about it.
No, he just, yeah, you bring it up, and George, what about the Star Wars? It's like asking about Howard the Duck. You know what, George? What about Howard the Duck? I can't hear you. George, what about Howard the Duck? Yeah, I can't. No, it's all pops and buzzes over here. I can't hear anything. And it's Kelly. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. The point I was going to make, by the way, is the thing they've left off this list is MTV, which I think was 1981, right? God damn, I'm old. Is MTV, is it 81 or 80? God, MTV is going to be 25 years old?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Just feels so free. I was over at Sarah's last night. I was over at Sarah's apartment for a little while. She was watching TRL for reasons known only to her. And it's like I lost track of even when Carson Daly quit hosting TRL. Man, it's like if you ever want to feel out of touch, you ever want to feel like you've absolutely lost touch with any sort of semblance of hipness, you just turn on MTV for like 5 minutes, and it just starts to make you feel distinctly awkward and uncomfortable.
Well, now they have 200 VJs hosting it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, and they've all got one name. I think we need to put like a 10-year moratorium on that. I think we need to take some sort of a cultural rest from people only having one name, you know? And then we'll ease it back in, you know? Around 2015, we'll start to slowly ease in with people just having the artistic first name only thing again.
You know, I know it's not up your alley, but the other thing that I think is really missing off that list is the creation of Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football, thank you. Well noted. So they have the 10 moments that change television. There's a whole lot they've missed. First, they've missed the creation of MTV. I mean, that is one of those moments that everyone remembers. If you saw it, if you were there, you were in a handful of people that got MTV back in the day originally and saw it, you remember it. And of course, if you don't, you remember hearing about it. Even if you didn't have, like I didn't have MTV until it had been on the air, I don't know, almost, a year probably. But you remember it happening. You remember hearing about it. You remember seeing ad campaigns for it. You remember the whole I Want My MTV thing. You remember your, you know, seeing the ads that said contact your cable company. If you were growing up in Kennewick, you remember the church lecturing parents about how you shouldn't let your kids have it. Monday Night Football, which revolutionized, and I'm not even a sports fan, and I can see that, man. Monday Night Football changed that entirely. Monday Night Football took football in America, which had always been like a second fiddle sport to baseball, and just raised it to a whole new level. I mean, just brought it, raised the bar on entertainment, on sports, on television, on marketing to men.
It completely changed sports, and I think, you know, it's kind of, to me, it's sort of the same thing, but it happened a long time later, was the creation of ESPN,
yeah,
which sort of follows in the line of MTV, but the whole idea of SportsCenter and all that, I mean, that it just changed the way sports were viewed on television.
Well, you're talking about the things that changed, you know, moments that changed television, especially the first time you saw them. I mean, especially that golden era of Monday Night Football where there was Dandy Don Meredith and, you know, and Howard Cosell. I mean, Cosell, him, God, my dad was one of those guys that hated Howard Cosell with everything in him, despised him, but sat there every Monday night watching it. I mean, my dad would have shot Howard Cosell in the head if he'd had the chance. But that was what compelled him to watch it. I mean, Howard Cosell was in the grand tradition of such people. He was the guy you love to hate, you know? And people both loved him and hated him and loved to hate him. All right, we got a few more to get to when we come back. We got Jolie from the front desk also on the way with How Chicks Think. Clyde Lewis with News at Ground Zero. More of your phone calls. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-727-5955. We're talking about the moments that changed television. We'll be back. Simple and plain. Give me the lane. I'll throw it down your throat like Barkley. You see my car keys, you'll never get these. They belong to the 9-8 posse. You want some more, son? You want to get some? Bum rush the door of the store. You know the rhythm, the rhyme, plus the beat is designed so I can itch your mind, boys. Bring the noise, my time. Step aside for the flex, Terminator X. Yeah, that's right, this jam is ready to call Medina, boy. That's right, call Medina, that's right. We shut up in EFFECT, other known as effect. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah!
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Yeah, not only Starship, but Starship with vocals by B. Arthur. Yeah. Excellent. Sarah has the traffic.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Indeed, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Coming up in the next hour of the show, Clyde Lewis with News at Ground Zero. The geek contingent continues to represent. Rick, we're talking about this USA Today article about the moments that changed television. Rick, let us not forget the first interracial kiss. Kirk and Uhura. It's so true. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. The thing about that, the interesting thing, and he knows this, about that kiss between Nichelle Nichols and William Shatner, is that they couldn't really do it, you know, just straight out, so they had to put them under mind control. There was something in the plot where they've been brainwashed or something, and that's... Anyway. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We're going to roll the How Chicks Think segment here in just a moment. Let's get Don, first-time, or rather full-time listener, in... Downtown. What's up, brother?
Rick, buddy. How's it going?
What do you got, man?
Hey, I can't even believe you missed this one. The Simpsons. Before The Simpsons, cartoons were for kids. For kids.
No.
The Simpsons, cartoons are for adults.
You are incorrect. You are incorrect about that. I'm not, and I don't mean to take anything away from The Simpsons. I got mad love for The Simpsons, as do all right-thinking individuals. I want to remind you about a little place called Bedrock, my friend, and the Flintstones, which was the first primetime animated series in America. Flintstones, thinly veiled rewrite of The Honeymooners, and it was completely for adults.
Were adults watching that?
Absolutely, man. And I mean, it aired like, it was like 8 o'clock on ABC or something, wasn't it? Yeah, The Flintstones was a full, I mean, I got you know, yeah, huge props to The Simpsons, obviously.
Full on prime time was the first
time. Yeah, it was the Flintstones, much like King of the Hill, was just an animated sitcom. I mean, it wasn't a cartoon so much as it was a sitcom that was just animated. All right, there you go, that's Don. No, I mean, you know, you got to love The Simpsons, but without The Flintstones, there would be no Simpsons at all. Let's roll it. It's another exciting edition of How Chicks Think. and their good friend Jolie from the front desk. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Okay, well, that's going to come to an end here in just a moment. This today's question comes to us. He gives his name, but I'll leave it out because he mentions his wife here, and he says, as I prepare for my annual February 14th fight with my wife about the appropriateness of giving gifts on a manufactured holiday, I'd like to know if, rethinking last year's unpleasantness, if Jolie has rescinded her comment about it being a legitimate holiday and has come to the realization that it was created by Hallmark. Waiting for her to admit that she's wrong. Da, 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 da.
I don't really think you need me to answer the question again.
I'm just... Look, I mean, it's coming up on Saturday. I can't pretend it's not there. I knew that we were going to get these.
Yeah,
there
well...
There's a whole long thing that we got into last year about this, and we're just going to revisit it and see if you've, you know, reassessed your thoughts on
well,
this.
Well, I am very happy to be talking about this holiday. Mm-hmm. This wonderful, holiday. Love,
put it
loving
in
holiday.
Uh-huh. All right.
Because men out there, there's a lot you can learn. I mean, I'm telling you. Because what we women have learned from this show is, you know, it only takes a few minutes to make your man happy, okay?
And you don't even need to be there.
Well, you know, sort of, but not really.
I mean, really? You just buy us a hustler and leave the room, we'll be fine.
Oh, really? I wanted the real thing.
Well, no, I mean, that works too. I'm just saying, you don't even really need to be there all the time.
You know, 10 minutes, whatever, and then they're fine, okay? So just let me give you this advice.
10 minutes?
Well, whatever. 5, 10,
man
20.
Man of steel.
2? Okay. You know, it's really not that big of a deal, and we are there to put the effort out for you, because we love you. Now,
is this a long prelude to something?
Well, I'm just trying to answer the question and give you some advice to make your holiday a little more happy,
right.
Okay?
Okay, so the question, so you've already answered it, which is that you haven't come to the realization that it's a fake-ass holiday, then. You're still clinging to this fiction that it's real.
We went through this last year about the history of Valentine's Day and all that.
Yeah,
and
except yours was made up.
No, it wasn't!
It really...
I got it off the internet, Rick. It's not made up. It's about a saint. It's Catholic.
You know those nude pictures of Britney Spears that I have. Those aren't made up either.
I mean, this isn't like a Who Shot JR. That's another one they left off the list. The freaking Who Shot JR, man.
Yeah,
they created the cliffhanger. Created the freaking cliffhanger. But that actually was the wrong reference anyway. I was going to talk about Patrick Duffy. You know, where he got out of the shower and it was all a dream. I didn't dream last year when Jolie was making up this crap about it was Saint Valentine, who was like some guy that lived in Sicily or something, right?
Well, I can vouch for her that she did get it off the internet because we did a lot of research about
it. Yeah, Rick. Yeah. You wouldn't even know because you don't even think it's real. But real love, Rick, is caring so much for someone that you want that person to be happy and you do what you can to make that happen, okay?
Spend lots of money.
Real love is saying, you know, well, maybe I think Valentine's Day is corny, but my wife, fiance, girlfriend doesn't. She loves this holiday, so I'm going to give her a fabulous whatever.
Okay, it's not
because
a
I love
holiday.
To see her smile. It is a holiday.
No, okay, look, it's not that it's corny. There's all kinds of things that are corny. Christmas is kind of corny. You know, Thanksgiving is corny. Halloween is especially corny. It's not that it's a corny holiday. It's that you persist in thinking it's a real holiday when it's not.
It is, too. I mean, Rick, I'm not going to go in and rehash all the things about the historical meaning of Valentine's Day. It's here. We've been celebrating it for centuries. Okay?
Well, really, not so much as you might think. I mean, that's like saying Secretary's Day is a historical holiday. It's just
It is, Rick, and you should be giving gifts as well to me.
Help. Someone help. Someone
but
help.
But this is important stuff, okay?
Yeah, okay.
There are only 4 times a year that you get to show how much you love someone, okay? I mean, that you're kind of required to. Birthdays, Christmas, Valentine's Day, and anniversaries. This is only once a quarter. I mean, it's really not that much, okay?
You sound like the guy at the jewelry store behind there with the ledger explaining how, you know, it's an easy payment plan for me.
Some of my research assistants said that the only, you know, if they didn't have Valentine's Day, they would never, ever, ever get flowers. So...
Well, it seems to me that's less a reflection on, you know, the holiday and the nature of holidays than it is on the guys they're with.
No, it's pretty much about the guy and how he has, you know, wants to make no effort to show the woman how much he loves.
Didn't you just say that it was a reflection of the
guy? That's
what
I'm saying. It's about the guy. Look,
what?
If you were the guy who needs to be guilt-tripped into giving you something, it seems like you've just chosen badly. That's a reflection on your choice of men.
No, because look at you. There really aren't that many men out there.
Look at me. Why don't you go pound it, sister? What do you mean, look at me? I'm saying if you choose a guy who doesn't give you flowers, then that's what you get. Who are you marrying? I'm marrying a guy that doesn't like to give flowers. And then a year later, you're all surprised. He doesn't give me flowers. It's like marrying a guy who's black and then waking up a year later and go, what? I'm with a black man. I mean, it's what he is, you know. You marry a guy who's left-handed. You never told me you were left-handed.
Oh, it's so not the same thing.
The guy you marry, it's, you know, you marry a guy who's, you know, that's what he is. You marry a guy who's, you know, 6 feet tall, he's going to be 6 feet tall the next year.
But
you marry
not
a guy who doesn't
thing.
Give you flowers, okay. He's not going to be giving you flowers the next year.
Well, he should, okay? Just learn that and know that he should.
Let me ask you this. Why don't you just marry a guy that does the things that you like him to do?
Well, maybe they're not married yet, Rick. Maybe these people are just dating.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because I know people have celebrated Valentine's Day since a very young age. You know, grade school.
Uh-huh.
Exchanging the little... I even had a boyfriend. There was these two twins. I don't know if he was my boyfriend, really. Probably not. But these two twins, Jason and John.
Yes.
And my sister and I both exchanged gifts with them, and they gave me this little... this bubblegum lip gloss. I still remember the package to the day. I mean, that's how important this stuff is.
Okay.
And your parents, I mean, didn't they give you cards and little stuffed animals and tell you how much they love you?
What? To me on Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
No, because they weren't pedophiles.
Oh, my God, Rick!
You're so cute and sexy. Why don't you come out to the trailer with Dad?
No.
Yeah, okay, just hold that thought. Happy Valentine's Day, sweet ass. Come bounce on my knee. Put me back.
That's right.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. Now, here's your Portland Trailblazers. The Rose Garden is a wreck!
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, it's 201. Tim Riley with you, brought to you by Car Toys. They have everything you need to accessorize your car in style. New headlights, under car neon shift knobs, the best selection in town. Handcuffs and porno have been found in the home of the man accused of the brutal murder of a University of Portland co-ed. The Oregon State Police Crime Lab matched Denise Allende's DNA to evidence found at the dormitory murder scene. Autopsy reports show student Kate Johnson was handcuffed, gagged, beaten, and sexually assaulted before being murdered. That missing cab driver from the Coob who triggered a search yesterday after his boss couldn't find him has been found safe and sound. Martin Wilkinson had just gone to a friend's house in southeast Portland to take a nap. He was oblivious to the fact that he was considered missing till he came home to the Coop and saw a poster hang up on a telephone pole with his picture on it that said, Missing Person. A former Stevens County Sheriff's Deputy obtained an illegal submachine gun from the Kettle Falls Police Department and later used it to shoot up his neighborhood. Deputy Will Clark and friends fired a Steer 9mm submachine gun from the backyard deck after consuming alcohol and shooting rounds at nearby homes. Sheriff's officials said they're not responsible because they didn't issue the weapon. Mostly sunny this afternoon. Highs in the 50s. Patchy fog tonight. Mostly sunny again tomorrow. Tim Riley, KOTK News. Huh?